Paul made a statement in Hebrews 5, 12 through 14, and I believe that this was Paul that wrote Hebrews because the author's unknown. And I think I've told you before, the reason I believe this is because Paul loved his countrymen. Y'all reading ahead, aren't you? Paul loved his countrymen. And the Hebrews is, with the name itself, is talking about Jewish Christians, right? And so this was Paul's people. And so Paul came to a place where he said, I'm done with you. From now on, your blood be on your own hands. He said, I'm going to the Gentiles. But Paul never lost that love for his people. And so I believe that with Hebrews being so much about the law and about Christ and how that you had to give up one fully and accept the other, I believe this was his last-ditch effort as an unrecognized author to reach his countrymen because he loved them so much. He was willing, and we'll see it, he was willing to give up his own salvation if they would just see Christ, they would just listen to him. He made this statement in Hebrews 5:12. He says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age. He's not talking about physical age. He says that is those who by reason have used their senses to exercise to discern both good and evil. You see, Paul understood, and we're going to see why this was a progression. Paul understood that it was necessary to go back and teach people. He was a teacher, right? That's what he did. And so God put him in position so he could actually use this gift. If Paul taught and people learned and then they didn't need him anymore, he couldn't teach. Paul was a teacher, and he loved people. He wanted to win the world for Christ. He came to a realization that he couldn't do that, but that's what he wanted to do. You see, Paul is very disheartened here in this Hebrews passage at these Jewish Christians. Why is that? Why do you think that Paul, speaking to Jews above all people, that he was disheartened and made this statement that he, you know, I got to go back and teach you again? Why do you think he made this statement? You see, it's easy to look at this from the perspective, meaning that we're not maturing as Christians in the church. But these were Jews. Why do you think that made a difference? Paul was looking at them and he was saying that these people had known the law. They had known God for a very long time. And then when Christ was right before you, you couldn't even get past the elementaries that he was trying to show you. And you knew more about him than anybody. This made Paul mad because this come down to character. You don't want to serve God? All this time I thought the Jews were serving God. I thought the Pharisees were on this magnificent mission. And I find out that when he stood right before you, you didn't even know him. This hurt Paul. This upset him. Romans 9, 3 through 5 says, for I could wish that I myself was accursed from Christ for my brethren. That's how much he loved his countrymen. I would say that a woman, a mother dying for her children would not be a question that she would have to ask herself. A man dying for his family would not be a question that he would ask himself. But for us to die for somebody in the church, you know, I'm really kind of busy. Can we do this another day? Can we do this maybe tomorrow? That's my favorite day. No. Paul said that I would be accursed and lose my salvation if my countrymen would only hear. This shows us the love that he had for the church, because this letter was written to the church. It's the New Testament book. But his countrymen, he said, of all people, you should have known. And you didn't. And he says, And you're asking yourself, what difference does it make? Because, you know, we're told in the church that there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. That, you know, what difference does it make being a Jew? You had to be grafted in also. You had to be the one. I mean, you had to be baptized into Christ also. Just because you were a physical Jew, you were circumcised, that's not going to avail you. On the eighth day, that's not going to make you saved from your sins. You still had to be. So what difference did it make? And he tells them, he says a lot. Because he says, "Who, my countrymen according to the flesh." He's talking about physical Jews. He's not talking about spiritual Jews, which is a Christian. He's not talking about us coming as a Christian. He's talking to his countrymen here. He says, "You're Israelites, to whom pertained the adoption." He said, "You were brought in because Abraham left his family." He says, "The glory." When God fought for men on the battlefield, and these people gave glory to God, when David said, how dare you talk about my God? He said, "This day I will have your head." The glory. The covenants. God didn't come to us and make a covenant. He made it with Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob brought the 12 tribes of Israel, and through that come the law of Moses to those people, the descendants of Abraham. He said to the Jews, he pertained the adoptions, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises. If it wasn't for the Jews, we would have no promises to claim, because we wouldn't know that God would be faithful to His promises. How do we know? Because of what He told the Jews. Because He promised Noah, because He promised Moses, because He promised Abraham that I will give you this land. And that was fulfilled with Joshua when he went into the promised land. Whom are the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came. Being a Jew, Christ came to them. He made them a promise that I am your Messiah, I am coming to you. See, we don't think that, I guess I don't know if we know how great that was. He didn't come to us. He didn't walk through this door and establish us. He didn't walk through that door and establish us. The Jews came to us and established the church. They are the ones, and they were the ones that Jesus promised that I am coming to you. He fulfilled that promise. He's certainly going to fulfill the promise that He's coming back to get the church. So one promise is based upon another. You see, as Christ began to teach these Jews, they should have understood, building on their knowledge of Scripture, but instead they acted as if they never knew Him. Who is this man that teaches these things? Where did he get this wisdom from? These people never knew Him. Does that sound familiar? Matthew 7:23, He says that on Judgment Day, He's going to say to those people, "Away from me, I never knew you. You never knew me, I never knew you." You see, the Jews should have seen God for who He was. They had all the knowledge of the Scripture. They knew so much. And yet when He stood right before them, right before their eyes, right in front of their face, they didn't even recognize Him. Paul at one time believed that these Jews were fervently serving God until Jesus showed up and they killed him. Paul was on a mission that he was going to stomp out these Christians that were serving this false God that was taking away from the Jewish faith. And we all know the story that happened with Paul on the road to Damascus. God blinded him so that he could see. What a wonderful thing. Nobody would think that blindness would be a wonderful thing, but in that blindness, he saw the living God. Paul understood that these Jews, even though they should have known God, they didn't. And if there's one body today that you would say they know what's up with Jesus Christ, they know about Him, they know what He's here to do, they know about His teaching, you would say that would be the church, right? I mean, if you want to know about God, you can pick up the Bible. Maybe some people still associate the Bible and Jesus. I don't know. I think there's a big push to break that thought. But you would go to a church to sit and listen about God, right? Paul realized that he wasn't going to make the same mistake with the church. The church should know about Jesus. He didn't turn his back on that. He wanted to make sure they did indeed know about Jesus. Right? He thought the Israelites were serving God. He found out they weren't. Then when he came to the church, he found that he couldn't just rely on the fact that they were the church, that they were saved by Christ, and that they would continue to know Him and continue to grow. So he made this statement in Hebrews. He said, you know, and he's telling this to the Jews. Why is he telling this to the Jews? Because they didn't even recognize Christ. He says, by now you ought to be teachers, but I got to go back and start over the elementaries. He was not going to make the same mistake with the church that he made with the Jewish nation. Right? I think we can see that there. Acts 17:10-11. He says, then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. Berea was a small town in northern Greece. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now, Paul was still going to the Jews here, and you see that it was in northern Greece, but these were the Jews that he was going to. And it'd be a common mistake to think that because it was in northern Greece, that it would have been Gentiles. But no, he was still going to the Jews. Excuse me. So he went into the synagogue to the Jews. But he noticed something here when he went into this synagogue. Right? These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. He had come from Thessalonica. In that, and he tells you why. He says, in that they received the word with all readiness. You know what readiness is? You go back and you look at the history of this country, they had Minutemen. You know what they were? You know why they were called Minutemen? Because at a moment's notice, they were ready to go. They had their gun, they had their pack right by the door, and if the country needed them, they would drop everything and grab their gun and go. With all readiness. Do you know that the Passover, when the first Passover was initiated, that Moses was told to eat it with the staff in his hand, sandals on his feet, to be ready. And so when he went into Berea, as opposed to Thessalonica, these people received the word, and they were ready to obey that word. They were ready to listen to that word. They were ready to change their lives because of what that word said. And they searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Paul couldn't take the church's word that they were growing in Christ, and he found a place that said, I'm not going to take your word because of who you say you are. I'm going to study behind you because I want to know the truth. Wow. How do you think that made Paul feel? Happy, right? I mean, he'd gone to the Jews. He had been pushed out of the synagogues. He'd been beaten. He'd been pushed out of town. And he went to Thessalonica, and obviously they were like, oh, yeah, we've heard about Jesus. And, you know, can we talk about something else, Paul? But then when they came to Berea, these people were hungry. They wanted to know what God was saying to them. See, some feel a need to understand and grow. And some are content with a level of knowledge. I've heard a statement made that, it might have been in the paper or something, that there was a preacher that was stepping down from some denomination or something. And you know why he was stepping down? He had preached from Genesis to Revelation, and he said he didn't have anything else to preach. Hey, you know, a young person in Christ, I can see that. Thinking that once you've read it, you know. I mean, I shared the story with you. I'd read the Bible from cover to cover, but I left out one book, Chronicles. Read Chronicles. You want to go to sleep? Read Chronicles. So I was reading Chronicles, and I was like, I just can't do this. So I moved on. And I was convinced that the reason I didn't understand God was, you know it's coming, I didn't read Chronicles. So that's why I thought that if I had read the whole books, and read from cover to cover, that I would understand God. How silly of me. some people come to a place and they're content. They've cleaned up their life a little or a lot. They come to church. They've witnessed to their friends, so they've evangelized, and it's not been successful. And, you know, I'm not held accountable for what they do, only what I say to them, and I've said something to them. And they just come to a place where, you know, I've checked all the boxes. I don't want to be there. And just like we talked about before with the nose thing, you can convince yourself that you're okay when you're not. And see, God's not telling you that you're not okay because you're not a Christian. He's warning you that don't be complacent and content with where you are. God is always looking to the finalization. What He did with Noah was a wonderful thing. He saved mankind. What He did with Abraham was a wonderful thing. He showed Abraham His righteousness. When Abraham said, if there's only 10 righteous people, would you slay the city? And he says, if there was 10, I would not slay the city. And he said, okay, I'm comfortable with that. I'm comfortable with that. But see, he was never content. God was never content with Abraham and with Noah and with Moses. And let's keep this in context here. When you talk about being content, keep this in context. He was not just content with sending His Son. His Son had to die so that we were given a chance. He will be content when we're all back together. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You know, you can be gone on a trip with your friends, like, to the beach for a couple days, and you just have a blast, right? Because you're with your friends. There's nobody nagging at you, mama, daddy. You know, you got to be anywhere. It's just a great time, right? But nothing feels like coming home. God is not content until we come home. You should not be content until you know everything that God will show you. And as long as you ask, He will show you. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. People who believe that God is going to separate the Jews again, they don't understand what a Christian is. A Christian is not a Jew. Christian is not a Gentile. A Christian is the Jew and the Gentile worshiping together in one body. When did that ever happen before? Do you know that as a Gentile you could become a proselyte? But you know when you became a proselyte that there were still certain places in the temple that you weren't allowed to go, because inherently you were unclean. But see, God has made us all clean. Christian is a worshiping body of Jew and Gentile. This did not exist. You are a new creation. You're something that the world's never seen before. Didn't know that, did you? Yeah, you knew that. Y'all knew that. You walk into a room, the world ain't never seen nothing like you before. Paul understood that the law of Moses would not mature you. The law was supposed to bring you to a place where you could say, no matter what I did, no matter what I did, I could not put myself back into a right relationship with God. This law promises me that there's a Messiah coming and I need Him. That's what the law was supposed to bring you to. It's not where it brought the Jews, not all of them. So Paul understood that the law of Moses would not mature you. Christ would. Those that stop growing under the law could not see Christ. Romans 10:4 says that. I'll read it for you. Because you shouldn't take my word for it. Romans 10:4. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Those people who would not stop growing under the law, they wouldn't see Christ. Because Christ was the end of the law for everyone that would see. And those who stopped growing under the New Testament, they would fall away. See, Paul, this is the purpose of this study right here. Paul realized that those people that would not give up the law, they would not see Christ. And he realized that if the church did not continue to grow, that they would fall away. Because in Hebrews, he tells us, he was telling the Jews that they couldn't go back to the law, but he tells us in Galatians, which wasn't written to Hebrew Christians, okay, specifically, he tells us in Galatians 5:4, I'll read that too. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. And you think, okay, well, I'm a Gentile, I was never under the law. Well, my heavens, the law was given by the direction of angels, was written by the hand of God, delivered to men, and if that wouldn't save us, and you're a Gentile and you never had the law, then what do you think you have that's going to save you? If you don't continue to grow in Christ, he tells you you're going to fall away. How does he know that? Because he saw it in his own countrymen. They held on to that law. They did not continue to grow in Christ. And what happened to those Jews? They didn't obtain salvation. And for those that did, they were in danger of going back under the law and falling from grace. You know, it must have been disappointing to Paul to see that so many had such a weak desire to serve God, who had died for them right before their very eyes. There's one thing we have to remember, is that these letters that were written to the people, most of them saw the crucified Christ. They saw a man that they came to him and he said, I'm sick. And he said, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, I want to receive my sight. I want this bleeding to stop. My daughter is sick. All of these things. These people witnessed him heal and take care of people. And they died right before their very eyes. And Paul had such a disappointment that with knowing this, that there was such a weak desire to serve God, he had a hard time finding people that were on fire for God. He would go into a place and he would start a church, he would give them the knowledge of Jesus Christ and how to be saved, and these Jews would swamp this church, and they would start bringing in the law, and they would start making people, young Christians who didn't know, they'd start making them question, and they would tie them up in knots. And Paul spent his time just trying to unravel. And there were some people that said, you know, I'm just tired of doing this. I'm tired of doing this. I'm tired of fighting this fight because one person says this, one person says that. Who cares? Right? He did not turn the other way for fear of upsetting those he preached to. Nor did he yell and condemn them to an afterlife of eternal flames. That's what you would think that they would do, right? Saying that they're not going to burn in hell doesn't mean that they're not going to burn in hell. But when you tell somebody they're going to burn in hell, what good does that do? Now, I'll tell you this, there are some people that need to hear that, and you will save some from that. If that is your approach, that you are that direct, God has put that in you, that fire in you, and you will find somebody that will listen to that. You may never know that they listened to you and that they turned. You'll find out on Judgment Day. It's called a jewel in your crown. Souls that you had a part in saving. But Paul wasn't going to reach people by condemning them to hell. Do you know what he did? Well, you know what he did because it's written up there and I forgot to. Paul was a teacher. So when he found out that they weren't getting it, instead of condemning them to hell, he went back and he retaught them. Because he was a teacher. Now, how hard do you think that would be for Paul? Teacher, teaching the same thing over and over and over. You get a kid that doesn't know, then they know, and then they move on. And then you start over again with a kid who doesn't know, and you teach them till they know. until you get the ones that you teach and they don't know, and then they still don't know because they don't care and they move on. It's got to be grueling to teach over and over and over and over. Right? But Paul did this. Why? Because you cared about your students. He cared about the souls. There are people that are cut out to be teachers. And there are people who are not cut out to be teachers. Because the easy thing to do is just to condemn them to hell. Fine. If you don't want to listen, you'll feel. I'll wash my hands of it. Can't be that way. You don't teach people that way. And I just said this. He went back and taught them again those things which would keep them on the only foundation where they could grow and mature. Our foundation can be befuddled. It can be confusing. People want to take away what our foundation is, that our foundation is found in just believing in the name of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 3, 10 and 11 tells us, according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, he was building a foundation for souls to grow on. He says, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. So, see, you cannot set up another foundation. You can't do it. You can only build on the foundation that Paul has laid. But he tells us, he said, let each one take heed to how he builds on it. You get someone that comes in and you're setting up a mobile home and they dig that foundation and set it up so that you can bring that mobile home and set it in there, right? Well, when you bring that mobile home to set it in there, the people that go to set it on that frame, they have to take great care to make sure that everything lines up, right? They can't just say, well, the foundation's good, just bring it in and drop it and run. No. They have a part to play in that too. Verse 11 says, and this is where I'm saying that there's only one foundation that we can grow on. Verse 11 says, for no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Paul understood that these Christians needed to grow to survive. Now that rate of growth is going to be different among people, right? Some people have more desire to look into the Word. Some people have more time to look into the Word. Some people have a drive to understand what this Word means as opposed to what this sentence or what this book is showing us. We all have different gifts. If we were all ears, then where would the seeing be? The Scripture even tells us this, right? Acts 2:42, we're laid on a foundation. This is my last slide. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and in prayers. There is a difference between the elementaries and the foundation. You can be a Christian and struggle with the elementaries. You cannot be a Christian and not be on this foundation. What are the foundations? This is the foundation that Jesus laid through the apostles. The apostles' doctrine confused us for a long time because there's a lot to learn. The man who baptized me into Christ, he believed that Jesus was coming back to set up an earthly kingdom. That's not true. He already had an earthly kingdom. It was called the Jewish nation. David's throne was his throne. He already had one. Not that it failed. It served its purpose, but he's not going to do that again. He's not going to bring us back under the law to show us Christ. That means Christ would have to come and die again. Not going to happen. The apostles' doctrine, Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Hebrews, didn't have these books. Ephesians, Galatians didn't have these books. The only doctrine that they had when this statement was made was who Jesus was. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that this Jesus whom you've crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. And the only other doctrine that they had was how to be saved. If we've killed the one that came to save us, bless you, then what can we do? And he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. fellowship. What kind of fellowship do you think we have? I come over to your house, you come over to mine. How many of you have been to my house? A couple of you. Have I been to your house? Not everybody's. That's not the fellowship that he's talking about. The fellowship he's talking about is right here around this table. The fellowship that brings us together as a body of Christ. We both have the same goal. That's to serve a living God. And he even tells us after that, he says, fellowship and the breaking of... fellowship. In, not and, but in the breaking of bread. This is our fellowship with him and with each other. We would not have fellowship with him without this table, and we would not have true fellowship without one another without this table. We partake of this as Christians. When you have two people stand up here and give you a meditation to focus your heart and mind, that's just as much for us as it is for anybody else. And when we pass these out, we are as much Christian as anybody else. We do not serve you. We serve each other. If you notice, when we get up here, Melvin served me and I served him. Which one was greater? It looks like to me that everybody was served by someone, and that someone is Jesus Christ. That's our fellowship. And in prayers. Why would prayers be a part of this? You know, because sometimes you can't help someone except just to pray. You don't know how to help someone. You don't know how to lift them out. You don't know what to do, and you don't have the means to do. But God says that if you kneel in prayer to me, he says, I will hear you, and I will come and move because of your words. This is what makes the church. This is not elementary teaching. This is our foundation. And if you are not on this foundation, you are not going to grow. There are Christians that become Christians and are on this foundation and they get off. They drift off into denominationalism that says that this table isn't present. I mean, it says that this table isn't important, that this table doesn't need to be present. Sometimes you'll drive by and you'll see a billboard up in front of the denomination that says that it's Communion Sunday. Wow. Why would you need to make that remark? Every Sunday is Communion Sunday. This is the foundation that we set on. And there's a difference between the elementaries and the foundations. You cannot remain a Christian if you're not on this foundation, and you will not grow in Christ no matter what you teach. This foundation is the foundation that the church sits on. These are not elementary teachings. This is the lesson that Paul learned from watching his countrymen. We good? This is the lesson that Paul learned, because these Jews should have known Christ, and guess what? They did. He wasn't going to make the same mistake with the church. So, we're the church, right? So every once in a while, guess what we get to do? We get to go back and touch on those elementaries. Why? Paul's pretty smart. Paul wrote most of the New Testament that we read and base our life on, right? And if he says that we need to touch on this every once in a while, we need to touch on it every once in a while. So, Lord willing, the next few lessons I'm going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 3. I don't have to go through every one of those individually, but I think that there's a couple, I want to go at it a different way than I've gone at it before. We need to make sure that we understand where we go from here. You come to church, you partake of the Lord's Supper, you gladly receive the words, those that heard were baptized, so we hold to that apostles' doctrine in reference to that, and we pray for one another. What's next? The devil is going to come at you at things that is going to try to take you off that foundation. If you had somebody that was in school that learned that 1 plus 1 was 3, how would you ever teach them that it wasn't? If they were taught that and their parents agreed to it, how would you ever show them that they were wrong? How would you ever bring them out of that? We have to make sure we understand that the essentials, the elementaries of the faith, You can't multiply and divide until you first learn to add and subtract, right? These are the first things that we do. You can't learn to teach someone if you can't even read or write. We can agree with this, right? There has to be certain basic concepts that we build on. Christ has saved you, now what? You go out and you fight the fight, because you will see that every one of these elementary teachings is the things that cause denominationalism. We divide over these elementary teachings. And even down to the foundation, that the foundation has been wrecked. They set it up on a whole different program. There's only one way to be saved. There is only one God. There is only one baptism. There is only one faith. Is this what you see coming from the world? Is this what you see coming from places that are called churches? No. It would do them justice too to drop back and look at the elementary teachings that Paul laid out in Hebrews, and that the apostles, that Peter laid out what the foundation was for the church. If they did these things, they might find out that they're not teaching right. Because no matter what foundation you're on, if you're not on this foundation, you will never grow as a Christian. March 5th, 2000, I was baptized into Christ. Seems like an eternity ago. Seems like a lifetime ago when I think about all the things that I did and the journey that I got that brought me here. I just wonder how God could use such a messed up, back and forth, all over the place life. But you know what? He uses all of us. We all have a gift. It's not reestablishing the foundation. It's not coming up with some grand new teaching. It is keeping each other grounded in this and teaching others. Because when you go out and you try to witness to Christ, you know what you're going to find? How are you supposed to be saved? The very elementary of all the teachings. The very foundation that the people accepted and they were baptized. That'll be your first fight right there when you try to talk to people, whether they're really a Christian or not. And you cannot lay another foundation. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. Let's start there. Who is Jesus? Do you accept who He is? So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation? Standing on the promise.